The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
That's right, top five, five, the top five things that are most interesting or entertaining that you need to know about today that have audio attached to them. I hate to just explain things to you. It's got to have audio attached.
Always very fun.
Got to have sound, yeah. All right, checking in at
number five.
Oh, there was trouble in the city council today. All right, so there was a piece of legislation that was passing through. And it was an authorization to start a study to see if members of the gay community in Chicago need set aside programs like, you know, money set aside for programs to help or employment opportunities for gay people, because they would be otherwise discriminated against, right? They're set asides many different ethnicities, right, and cultural groups here, and this was about the LGBTQ community. Well, two members of the Black Caucus, your leaders, you got Jason Urban and Walter Burnett. They were not too happy about this because it's quite a controversial issue, being gay in the Black community.
Now, you know, I don't have a problem voting on the study, but I'm just letting you know I have a concern. I have a concern about the system being manipulated, and I have a concern about, you know, maybe helping someone else and hurting some other folks that's already hurting, you know, and that's a concern of mine. And you know, I'm not gay bashing, you know, I have friends that's gay, I have family members that's gay, you know what I'm saying? I help gay people every day, I do business with gay folks. It ain't about the gay thing. It's about the white male, the white privilege thing that Alderman Tunney says that goes on in our society.
All I could think about was a white guy saying, I have black friends. I have tons of black. They're African-American. I do business with them.
I do. I've helped them.
I help them sometimes.
I would do business with them. I've even sometimes eaten in front of them.
The irony of it all.
Well, if Chicago only had a black gay mayor, I wonder how she'd feel about it.
I'm disturbed by the nature of the committee discussion and the nature of the discussion here today. We need not ask anyone's indulgence, patience, or forgiveness or acceptance to be who we are and who we love. And that will never happen as long as I am in this body. And it's also shameful for any member of a discriminated community to give indulgence to offensive words spoken by someone else. In some ways, that's even worse. My friends, the pie is big enough to slice it in lots of other ways. What we are asking for is data, a study to determine where we are. And yes, of course, we need to work on other issues, but we need not victimize, demonize, and discriminate through our words against anyone else, because we are worried about what the size of the pie is going to be for me. So please, our children are watching. Please choose your words carefully.
I said I work with them. I've even shaken hands with them.
This is funny, the whole dynamic here.
Well, only in the city council. But I do like, you know, Alderman Burnett. He's been around a long time. I mean, he's as political an insider can get, really, now. He's a boss. He's a guy. And she was not going to have any of this. Not going
to
have
wrong mayor to mess with.
Right,
her.
Exactly. I do have to say, one thing about her that is absolutely refreshing is she just takes no prisoners. I know we're sort of in that moment in politics, but she doesn't take prisoners in a real kind of smart way.
Right. She's not mean about it. She's just very
forthright,
powerful about it.
I would say indignant would be the thing. I said I've seen them on the street and I didn't cross.
I'm not gay bashing. You know, I have friends that's gay. I have family members that's gay. You know what I'm saying? I help gay people every day. I do business with gay folks.
Oh, God. Didn't he have to know that Mayor Lightfoot was not going to be happy about that? Didn't he have to know that? All right. Let's do this. Let's find out from Lauren Lapko what's happening on the roads and in the skies. We'll get to your 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Early morning, stay safe and stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast and Sarah Gindra's traffic reports. Weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN TV Morning News.
All right, top 5 and 5 continues.
Number 4.
That's what we're up to, number 4. All right, there's trouble at the Illinois State Lottery. They're losing money. How is that possible? How is that even remotely possible? Numbers of a comparison between the last 6 months of 2018 and the last 6 months of 2019 showed a $64 million drop in receipts that were sent to the schools, right? It goes to the school fund, theoretically. That's what the lottery is supposed to do. That's how we got it passed a billion years ago. Oh, yes, no, we're doing this to help the schools. What they did not acknowledge was that in doing that, they took the money from the general fund away from the schools. And said, well, we'll just replace it with money from the lottery. And now all of a sudden the money isn't coming in. So CBS2 started asking a bunch of questions. What they wanted to know, they talked to the Better Government Association, and they say that, you know, there's this private company that runs a lottery here now, and it costs $26 million a year to hire them.
Lottery is in a fight for its life.
Is anybody sounding an alarm?
You're not hearing a lot so far. You know, these numbers are new, but the problems at the Illinois Lottery are not new. If, as some people think, we're going to face a recession sometime, maybe late 2020, then those numbers will really start to go down.
Yeah, but they also talk about discretionary money, right? People use discretionary money on the lottery. Well, now you could use your discretionary money on the weed.
I have this kind of fun money, and the choice is, do people want to get high or do they want to gamble? When economic times get tight, they usually can't do both.
You know, my suggestion is just start gambling, because, you know, that might turn your luck around.
You might get it back.
I love how it's like Pottersville now. We have turned Illinois into that, you know, when George Bailey is running through the town, and it's other but strip clubs and, you know, all the bad stuff, casinos. And Ma's running a boarding house for the heroin addicts or whatever it is. That's basically what happened here. We were never exactly, you know, before we
squeaky clean.
No, but we were. But at least now we're like surprised that there's trouble. All right, checking in at
number 3,
Nick Walenda. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He walked across the Chicago River on a tightrope.
Ah, yeah, that guy.
Remember that?
Spoiler alert, he made it. That's right. Across, then, successfully. Right.
Then he did the tightrope thing in Times Square. He walked across Times Square on a tightrope.
Yeah, with his sister, right?
Yeah. 1,000 feet above. Now, he's playing top this with himself.
Oh, boy.
His next adventure is to walk across a volcano.
Classic thrill seeker.
An active volcano. He told ABC News, my guess is this is going to be on ABC. This is why he told ABC News this. Just a little guess. He told ABC News, here's what the biggest challenge is going to be.
It's the gas. The gases that are in the air. It is a sulfuric gas, so it literally will burn your eyes. It'll burn your throat, so you can't breathe it if it becomes very thick. And they can become blinding. And that is extremely intimidating, the fact that, you know, as a wire walker, focus is very important. So I'm trying to train now, or I am training now, with my eyes closed or with a blindfold on for a longer distance.
My next question is, does he have a safety harness? Because anytime anybody pulls one of these, I go, does he have a safety harness? If he does, I'm not that interested.
Well, that's what happened here.
This is a little different, I guess.
Yeah. And no one's asking him to have a safety harness. If he goes to some foreign volcano, it doesn't matter. Right? Only in an American volcano would you have to have a safety harness. He should go to, like, you know, there's got to be some volcano in the South Pacific that he can go to where the country doesn't care. No, you go ahead. And then the like here, remember they put the safety harness on him? And then it was because they had a guy like from the fire department. They started the show and it was like, yes, he's going to go across the Chicago River. And he was traversing from where was it? Was it from Marina City to the building across from there?
Yes,
or was it
yep,
Trump
yeah.
Tower, whatever the hell it was. So he's going across. And then they right before he goes, they hit like a guy from the fire department.
Nick Walenda? I've been asked to come up here and seize you. You know, you're going to have to wear a safety harness because that's rules. This Chicago Fire Department rules. There's no two ways around it. You cannot traverse between structures in this. Take a look right here. It's right in the it's right here. See the ordinance. And they made him wear the safety. And it was like, oh, my God, I can't believe the city made me wear the safety ordinance. Or they made me wear the safety harness. And you're like, really? They did right. That was there was no discussion of it. It just came up in 10 minutes before we were going to go across. I don't think so. It's almost like they hired an actor to play a Chicago Fire executive. Yeah, that's what you're going to need to do, Mr. Walenda.
Tell you, we need to find some cheap volcano in a corrupt third world country.
The entire country will come watch.
Right, and let him go across that thing. And let's see what happens then. The problem is the sulfuric acid. Hold on, I need to pray with my minister. Wasn't Osteen his guy? Didn't Joel Osteen go
and
pray
like
with him?
Yeah, super religious.
Yeah. Well, I would be too, if this is my chosen field. Because you know, at any given moment.
Oh, yeah. A lot of praying going on when you're walking there.
Yeah. Checking in at
number two,
Ken Jennings.
That's the best player.
You are the champion. Nice job. The greatest of all time.
Congratulations.
There he is, Ken Jennings, winning the final Jeopardy, the multi-game tournament of the greatest of all time. He told Good Morning America that all of his competitors were top-notch opponents, but that James forced him to change his strategy.
Honestly, James was building a lot of momentum in last night's game. You know, he was coming for me. It looked like I had put the game away, and he came racing back. And if he gets that final answer right, suddenly it's 2-2, and he's got momentum on his side. So, it was not a dominating win at all. I think all three of us are very experienced Jeopardy players, and if you run this back 10 times, you're going to get a different winner. You're never going to get the same winner twice in a row.
Don't give them any ideas, because that's coming. We should do it again.
I think he and the
James
guy
Holtower,
from,
by the way.
Yeah, the guy, him, James, they've been having a riff on Twitter. Ken Jennings.
Going against it. Yeah. Promoting it. Because I'm sure, I have a feeling about this, that there's going to be a call out for a rematch.
Ooh.
In either February or May or November. The months of sweeps. And finally,
number one.
Before takeoff at Houston's Hobby Airport, Jason Campbell noticed a man who looked like President Trump on the flight. And he was carrying a musical instrument. So the pilot said they had a special guest. The man walked down the aisle, messed with the flight attendant intercom system, and started acting like he was the president. During the impression, he takes off his wig and begins to do an impression of another former president, George W. Bush. Who allows a guy to do this on the plane? Where is TSA?
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it is so great to be on Southwest Airlines flying to Orlando, Florida, the entertainment capital of the world, where I launched my campaign for 2020. But I have a confession to make. I'm not really Donald Trump, okay? Would I be flying coach if I was Donald Trump? Of course not. I'd be on my own plane. It's me. great to be back in Texas where I live. You're all invited to the ranch for some barbecue. God bless you, and God bless Southwest Airlines and America.
Again, I ask, where is the air marshal taking the guy down? I mean, it's guy tries to commandeer the microphone on the plane.
Sir, we need you to go back to your seat.
Gotta go back.
The seatbelt sign is on.
Yeah. Sit down now, sir. I don't care who you think you are. All right. That's my only problem with that story. Obviously, this is a guy who's just trying to get on Good Morning America to be the guy that was, you know, roughed up. What he needed to do is he needed to refuse to give up his seat like the Dr. Dow did here.
Mm-hmm. Well, his stunt worked. It was number one in our top 5 at 5.
That's a good point. Again, I prefer an air marshal taking care of this business.
The top 5 at 5.